Hello and welcome to Board Stupid, with a podcast that loves talking tabletop board games, D&D and other awesome stuff. I'm Tom.
And I'm Simon.
We're just a couple of nerds talking about the things that we love that are worth geeking out over. So, Mr. Simon, if you're ready, we'll dive into this week's episode.
Let's get going.
This week, we're talking about the biggest UK event for tabletop gaming, the UK Games Expo in Birmingham at the NEC at the end of May. We've been poring over all those lists of new games, watching upcoming Kickstarters, and just generally getting very excited about being at a massive venue with thousands of other like-minded nerds.
It's going to be busy, only 50,000 or so, it'll be fine.
It's not as big a spiel. There's so many new releases that we have to clear some new space on our shelves and try to make a few choice picks that we're going to be looking out for. So, Simon, what is UKGE? Why is it so special?
Well, UKGE is the largest games event in the country and third biggest in the world, behind only Gen Con and Spiel in Essen every October. So end of May, beginning of June, 40 to 50,000 like-minded individuals around the NEC and go crazy over new games to demo, play and buy. There's RPGs, dice, small games and new ones all thrown in there.
For those who don't really have a sense of scale here or haven't been to the NEC, the NEC is broken up into a bunch of different exhibition halls. Each one is essentially a massive warehouse, which is probably several hundred feet long.
Some people would be making football field comparisons here, but I have no idea how big a football field is.
Probably fit a football field in each of those halls.
Oh, easily.
And then they are spread out over three halls.
Normally two main halls for sales and demos, then a third hall for open play.
Hundreds of tables for tournaments, for open play. They normally have the bring and buy.
Some changes, I think, to the bring and buy this year, although we don't often make it into there.
I don't feel like there's ever really enough time to see everything and play some games and get around and talk to some people and go and have a look at the bring and buy.
What you're saying is we need to make UKG longer? They get a whole week?
Yeah, or have more than one a year.
I'm up for that. Biannual?
Yeah, just keep going. So I did have a quick check. There's more than 570 exhibitors this year, which has probably contributed to why it's been so difficult to scan through a massive list of all the new games. And they do fortunately have some filters. I have new to buy, new to try, new to play. I'm not really sure what try and play differences.
Maybe one's finished product and the other's work in progress. That'd be my guess.
Prototype versus nearly ready.
Yeah.
Or ready soon. But the idea is that you get to try out a load of new games that haven't necessarily been available anywhere before. There's a lot of Kickstarters that land for UKGE, just like with Spiel. And there's a lot of availability of games that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to get your hands on until one of these big events happens. So, Simon, what are we going to be doing at UKGE?
Well, I'm looking to play as much as I can. The first time I went was in a bit of a retail haze, looking to buy loads of stuff because, you know, I was trying to build my collection at that point. Now I'm kind of settled in, not exactly a veteran, but more experienced with the event. I really want to get in there and meet people. Over the last few years, we've made some friends and acquaintances, people who say, oh, hi, I recognize you from last year. So I want to catch up with them, make more connections in that way. I want to play all the new games, of course, or tons we've not got around to trying yet. Make that my focus.
It's great, yeah, being able to walk around one of the exhibition halls at one of these shows and recognize people who are exhibiting, who recognize us, who remember that we came up and spoke to them before, that we've done interviews and little videos and things like that, and great to see these people from show to show.
Yeah, it's a fun little moment to have that recognition where people go, oh, Board Stupid, I remember you guys.
And between sort of Spiel and UKG as well, a lot of the exhibitors who are at one will be at the other and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's really interesting when you see particularly some of the large European distributors who only have like a small stand in the UK.
The juxtaposition of someone like Pegasus Spiel splitting a booth versus having half of a hall is crazy. Of course, this year we're staying in a hotel instead of an Airbnb. So whereas in previous years, when we finished our shopping day, we'd gone back home, had an evening of play in our own space. This year we might hang around at the show and find some people to play with.
There's always the open play hall. As long as you stake a claim to a table early enough, the hall stays open much later than the main expedition.
It's like 9 or 10 o'clock, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it depends from day to day. But if you camp out in the hall, then obviously there's always space to be able to play the games. You do need to make sure that you grab a space, though, because if you get to 5 o'clock at the end of the day and you haven't already secured a table, everyone from the halls who isn't going home is going to secure a table. So we'll be covering a whole bunch of stuff. We'll be talking to various retailers, distributors, the exhibitors for Kickstarter, new games, people showing off prototypes. It'll be on Instagram. I think we're going to do some live...
I think our rough plan is that you and I, Tom, do some short Instagram clips and upload this throughout the day. And then Wayne and Matt will be doing the more in-depth videos. So if you're not yet checked out our YouTube channel, go and have a look at that. There's plenty of stuff up there to see already. And they have their preview video up already. And they'll be doing more interviews and so on, uploading those at the end of the day, whereas we'll be kind of running and gunning 30-second clips, you know.
Exactly. I know that Wayne has spoken about it before, but it can be a bit tricky to try and edit and upload to YouTube on the fly.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Whereas Instagram makes it quite easy for us to do live video and show people exactly what we're looking at when we're looking at it.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Okay. So anyway, we're here to talk about some games.
Some highlights, things we're looking forward to.
As I've said before, we've been trawling through a massive list of games that is available on the UKGE website, looking for a few familiar titles that we've seen at Spiel or on Kickstarter or have been touted in various reviews by other people over the last few months, and also having a look at the shortlist of Judges' Choice Awards as well.
You're going to have to run me through that because I ashamedly haven't done my due diligence.
To be fair, I only noticed that they'd gone up fairly recently, and then 2 minutes before we started recording, I've then realised that actually the winners have been announced. But I don't think that necessarily matters because there's still a short list of games and anything that makes it onto that list is undoubtedly great.
Oh, absolutely. If you've made the shortlist, you've already won. Being nominated gets your name in front of so many more sets of eyes. I think we've picked a few from the list, but not a huge number.
No, I've got a couple. But over the last few years, I think between us and Matt and Wayne, we've picked up a whole load of games that have come from either the Spiel winners or the UK GE Judges' Choice winners.
Yeah, yeah.
In some instances, inadvertently.
We picked the winner and they followed suit.
Blazing the way. Anyway, why don't you tell me about the first game that you've got on your shortlist, Simon?
I'm going to start with a couple of smaller titles, ones I don't know a vast amount about, possibly beyond the title and the artwork, which has drawn me in.
It's fair to say that some of these games don't have a lot of information available about them other than a nice little picture on the website and a very brief blurb, and maybe a BGG website that might have a picture, but doesn't necessarily have a picture.
So with that in mind, I'm picked purely for the title. This Frog is Ruining My Dungeon Crawl.
That's brilliant.
Looks to be about a 20-page booklet.
A Frog Has Ruined My Dungeon Crawl. That's great.
From what I can tell, you can do a two-player, but primarily as a solo game. I just saw the title and I thought, I can't not mention that.
I've never played a solo tabletop RPG before.
Me either.
Seen a couple. There's been a couple I've seen at shows that have drawn my attention before, but I've never really got around to going for it because, to be honest, I generally prefer to play that sort of game in a group.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the concept of it, but I don't think I'd get the most out of it in that setting. I remember looking at Colossal a couple of years ago and it looked so good. Also, Crit Kit UK have done some really good ones. Be Like a Crow was their award-winning standout.
That's the other one I was thinking of. Yeah, well, there you go. You hit both of them.
In fact, Cricket have recently teamed up with Critical Role to do some third-party accessory stuff.
So I always think of these solo RPGs as more of a thought exercise, something that you might use to inspire you into maybe writing your own little story.
Yeah, like a skeleton to develop your own story.
For me, the tabletop RPG has always been about the sort of the group collaboration.
Yeah.
So it's not quite what I'm looking for, but I do like having a look at these things because they're always interesting.
Okay, what's your first pick, Mr. Tom?
I'm going to go with one that's on the Judge's Choice shortlist. I'm not going to give spoilers. It may or may not have won. It didn't, but I'm going to go with Nunattack.
I don't think I know anything about this one.
Nunattack apparently is a mountain surrounded by ice, or a glacial mountain.
Okay.
It's one of these sort of 3D games that has a lot of board presence, and it reminds me of things like Big Boss, where you get a bunch of chunky colored plastic bricks, which are pyramid columns. And what you basically do as a table is you build a icy pyramid. You place your pyramid pillars. When you have four in a square, you create a new level for the pyramid that joins up those four spaces, and you build levels of the pyramid over the course of the game.
Okay.
Bigger and better rewards as you build up. You remember in Endless Winter where you have the mechanic where you place the little monument stones and you have to sort of strategically place the stones. Yes. Ideally, you want to be the person to complete a set of four so that you can build on top of them and get all of the rewards for placing on top of them.
Okay.
It's got a similar sort of strategic placement idea. It's really cool and colourful.
I'm looking it up now and it looks really damn cool. Yeah, I like it.
And I don't have a lot of medium, lightweight, simple games, and something that's got a lot of curb appeal.
It's very tactile.
Tactile. Yeah, nice, yeah. Like Big Boss, where you get a nice big stack of plastic at the end of it. There's something very satisfying about that.
There absolutely is, yeah. No, we'll have to take that out.
Of course, probably in massive contrast to most of my other game choices.
You're allowed a bit of variance, Tom.
Exactly. So that's my first choice.
Next one I'm going to jump to is Faraway, which is being released through Hachette UK and developed by Catch Up Games. Very interesting looking card game. You're creating a tableau or a run of eight cards, which are then scored in reverse order. So each card you put down kind of works backwards through your pack to score.
It looks really cool.
It is very eye-catching. Already out as far as I know, but maybe not on wide release. So I'm possibly going to pick that one up there.
I'm trying to think what the art reminds me, and I'm immediately going to Haunted Lands.
Oh yes, I can see that similarity.
It's like super vivid, colourful art, nice big chunky square tiles, really sort of weird, cutesy characters.
Yeah, the cards are almost more like a square tile than anything. It just looks so appealing, and it's been highly rated from what I've seen so far online.
Cool. That sounds like a really interesting choice. Okay, I'm going to go with another shortlist option before I move on into the weeds with some other choices. So I'm going to dive into the Euro category, and I'm going to go for Windmill Valley.
Ooh.
Do you have a look at Windmill Valley at all?
I've heard of it. I'm sure I'll recognise it when I see it.
We're into the realm of not quite brown Euros.
Be careful, Tom.
Not quite brown Euros.
It looks like Dorf Romantic on the box. No bad thing.
Yeah, the artwork's really cool. But it is a game about being a tulip trader in the Netherlands.
Perfect. Who would not want to play that? Sounds lovely.
Not the only game about being a tulip trader in the Netherlands.
Oh?
I have played another one. So this game is a bit of a worker placement, a bit of an engine builder. You have a board where you will collect and plant your tulips in fields, and you build windmills adjacent to those fields in order to be able to collect them and earn bonuses.
I went to Amsterdam for my birthday last year, so I'd love to kind of revisit that idea and that concept.
Super colourful tulip fields.
Definitely one of the most colourful games I've seen.
And then the engine building element of it sounds really interesting. So you have a windmill, and you have a little board that is consisting of two dials.
I'm seeing cogs.
The cogs are your action selection mechanic. Also, the engine building element. You can upgrade the windmill with different benefits. Turn the wheels, they turn together because they're interlinked cogs, to get your actions. So it sounds really interesting. I really like the idea of a unique action selection game, and particularly in a Euro game, I always find that really, really interesting, because that can be the heart of the game completely.
That's really interesting. I'd like to give it a go. Is that going to be demoed or on sale, do you know?
It is for sale, because it's one of the Judges' Choice Awards.
Okay, perfect.
I believe. So it's supposed to be relatively quick. I would say it's probably in the middleweight Euro games.
Mm-hmm.
They've billed it as light and quick, but it sits on BGG as a 3 out of 5, so I'm not quite sure how light it really is.
Okay.
But maybe in terms of Euros, it's not super, super crunchy, but I'd really like to give it a try.
Cool. Looking forward to it. I'm now going to jump to our friends at Mighty Boards, and if you'll indulge me, I'm going to give a couple of titles here.
I think you may well have picked at least one of the ones I've already picked.
I'm being super greedy. Apologies. First of all, Hamlet by the Lake should be there.
Really tempted to see that. I love Hamlet.
We are big fans of Hamlet. It's a really cool game. Don't even know how to describe it in the moment. A resource management / engine building?
It's a donkey logistics train builder.
There we go. So By the Lake is a great little addition which fills in all those funky little spaces you get left with as you tessellate those funny shaped village tiles.
Yeah. I mean, for context, Hamlet is a town builder, right? You work together to build out the town. It's all about logistics, collecting resources, yep, and trying to upgrade the town and ultimately complete the church in the middle of town.
That's right.
Well, in the middle of the hamlet, which will then qualify you as a town. The winner gets to name the town, which is a nice little benefit. But the tiles that you place are all different weird shapes and sizes. They're made out of small triangles. So there are ways to tessellate them together, but you can inevitably end up creating little spaces where you can't fill them in.
You're more likely to annex a triangle or a diamond, some other weird shape, and the lake fills in those cool little gaps in which you can then go fishing for other resources or use to create shortcuts where there's no other natural path. We did have a little preview of this last year when we spoke with a designer, and I really want to play with the expansion added in. It should be very fun.
The last time I saw it was when it was in very early prototype stage. Mm. Actually, it might have been at UKG last year. Seeing Hamlet in the flesh with the ability to fill out all of those little spaces, I think it's going to be really, really satisfying, because I like when you can look at the table and it looks like a complete little village.
Yeah, it's one of those games where I'd happily just take the pieces and play with it almost as a puzzle and make patterns. And while we're with our friends at Mighty Boards, I'm also going to mention Fateforge Chronicles of Khan, which I can't wait to play again.
I also had that on my list.
Yeah,
it's so good. We got a demo last year at Essen and it was super fun. I believe Matt has pre-ordered it.
Designer of Vengeance, right?
It is. And she has some similar art style and mechanics, that top-down view. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
There was limited copies of it available for demo at UKG and I didn't get a chance to play it. It's dice allocation, right? For actions?
Yeah, custom dice for your class, which you can modify and upgrade.
Makes me think Too Many Bones, Chip Theory.
I only know of it in passing.
Lock in dice symbols to do actions.
Yeah, there we go, then.
Even the Vengeance Roll and Fight has a similar mechanic, but it's a little bit more generalized.
Yeah, this is more specific than Vengeance in that regard. It has a cool shifting initiative, like Vengeance Roll and Fight. It had certain rules that you must kill the guards before you attack the boss, or these characters will hold you in location until you eliminate them.
It appealed to me because I've probably already got one too many very, very large table hog campaign or legacy style dungeon crawlers.
Yeah.
And
you've got a
they're
few.
Always filled with loads and loads of miniatures, which might be great at the time, but it ends up being sometimes a bit of a hurdle to actually getting them on the table. Certainly getting them on someone else's table if you want to travel with them.
Yeah.
So having a dungeon crawler that plays, well, is sort of a relatively small package.
Yeah, it's effectively modular. It reminds me a little of Mansions of Madness, where each map is fairly small and being app-supported, you generate the map as you go or quickly set the scene out. The scenario plays in about an hour, after which you can play on to make a bigger mission, or it can kind of be a one and done and move on.
Players and the enemies are represented by sort of little coloured pucks, right?
That's it, yeah. There was an option to upgrade the player characters on certain bosses with miniatures.
Nice idea. I don't mind having some unique miniatures for particularly memorable enemies, but I don't think you need it for everything. All right, well, I might as well stay in the same vein. I've got one more from Mighty Boards. It is an obvious one because I'm sure, I think both Matt and Wayne talked about this as well. I think both of us have looked at it, but this is Rebirth.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, this is Rebirth from Mighty Boards. This is from the legendary Rainer Knizia, he of great board game fame. And it's billed as a tactical tile-laying game in the ruins of Scotland, that you need to rebuild and reconquer and build up the strength of your clan.
Yeah, a bit like Hamlet. I think it's got some degree of cooperation where you all need to work together to help the grand scenario. But individually, you want to do the best out of it.
Yeah, so it's got some lovely looking artwork. It's got Mighty Boards behind it, so the art and the world building looks really cool.
Yeah, artwork by our buddy Max Kosek out there in Malta.
And then, you've got Rainer Canizio behind it in terms of the brains of the mechanics, which you know is always going to be excellent. So I'm really, really cool to give it a try. It, from all the reviews, it sounds like it's got really, really clever, smooth gameplay, and getting to place tiles and sort of build out a map, almost like with Hamlet. That's scratches a particular itch. I like a sort of an exploration game. There's lots of other ones, like the exploration element of Northgard, for example, I really, really like.
Yeah, not knowing quite how your game board is going to turn out is super interesting to me. Kind of loosely defined, but then there's loads of parameters that are changeable inside it, and I think that's really cleverly done.
Yeah, well, I'm dead eager to give that a try.
Should we stick some fairly obvious choices for a moment then?
Why not? Get all of the obvious ones out of the way. I've got some slightly more obscure ones to come.
Fair enough. I'm going to move to Czech Games Edition then, and their new title, SETI, The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
This is why I needed to pick more than five.
CGE, as we know, has one of the best pedigrees in modern board gaming. This is based on the real-life project called SETI, so it's using actual scientific concepts to reach out into deep space and see if we can find anything which represents genuine alien consciousness.
Giant telescopes and radar dishes pointed into the sky.
I don't know a vast amount at the moment about how the game plays, but I've seen some of the components and that multi-ring board which spins around itself.
So you're supposed to be sending out probes and missions into the solar system in order to try and establish your efforts towards a search for extraterrestrial intelligence. It's got a really, really clever little rotating modular solar system where the planets and, you know, the heavenly bodies move around over the course of the game. This is supposed to be emulating the motion of the planets within the solar system. And then above and beyond that, it's a bit of an engine builder. All the projects, I mean, if you've looked at the project cards, they look really, really cool.
There's over 200 cards you can research and look into.
They're all research projects, essentially, that are tied to the real history of the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, which is very, very cool. It reminds me of some of the ideas in things like Terraforming Mars, although, again, that's further removed from reality.
Sci-fi fantasy, isn't it?
But yeah, the idea of having loads of scientific projects that you can build up over the course of the game to try and improve your chances of finding.
There's just such huge scope to it. I think that's what's exciting me about it.
And, well, like you say, Czech Games Edition seem to have a great pedigree in terms of their choice of games that they publish. So I'm really, really keen to give it a try and see how it actually plays. So I'm going to jump from that to Arboria from Alley Cat Games. Like someone has vomited confetti and colours all over the table. It reminds me of Botoku, if you remember that.
Yeah, can't help but be reminded of that.
And it's super eye-catching. All the pieces and the board itself is almost epilepsy-inducing. There's something really, really eye-catching about it.
Oh, super eye-catching. If you want someone to walk past the table and have their head turned, this is it.
Also massive. The board is really huge. This is a worker placement Euro game, which is a, you know, a Venn diagram that I really like.
Oh, yeah.
You play as woodland spirits who, in a similar sort of fashion to things like Living Forest, you are working together towards a shared goal. When you generate resources, a lot of those resources go into a shared pool.
Cool. That's interesting.
And in that way, you can help build towards projects, or you could potentially be selfish and steal resources from the shared pool. The worker placement and the action selection goes on to a number of different action tracks. And when you, the more people sort of who take specific actions on the action tracks, advances those action tracks, and in doing so, improves the rewards that the people who took those actions get.
Some mutually beneficial actions then. That's always fun.
Yeah, so there's some additional strategy over and above the normal worker placement mechanics where you're almost rewarded for taking some of the sort of synergistic actions with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds really, really cool. It's super, super colourful. And I really like the idea of the worker placement action selection. You know, similar to Windmill Valley, it sounds like it's something a little bit unique.
theme is definitely something I'm into, and the art style is gorgeous.
If anything, I just want to go and look at it.
It's a great pick. I'm going to stick with something similar in terms of its colourfulness. It's a game I've never heard of before, and honestly, I've not found much info about it. This is Spokes from Radical 8 Games. Looks like a fairly small box game.
Spokes as in a wheel?
Bicycle wheels, specifically. Show off your cycling prowess and routing ability. Players manipulate their wheels and the track to travel through contiguous colourful lines. It looks like a velodrome, a cycle track, and there's multitudes of segments that are a coloured piece, one of your spokes. On your turn, you remove a piece and place a piece to create a track. You then travel down to score. It reminds me in a way of Ticket to Ride, at least in its linking route together, using pieces of your colour. Beyond that, I don't know much about it, but I am intrigued.
Box art is really psychedelic.
It's my link to the previous pick.
Oh, I mean, this isn't intentional, but I can segue again then.
Perfect.
So I'm going to go through the Ticket to Ride similarity.
Yep.
To another game that's about trains.
Ticket to Ride Legacy?
No, this is Terminus.
Terminus?
Terminus is a game about building an underground train network.
Okay.
So you're building a subway, or, you know, like the London Underground, where in a similar sort of concept to Ticket to Ride, you start with a station, and the idea is that you have to build train routes, and when you complete routes, you create a new terminus, a new station, and then you build more routes from there. You have to manage a number of different assets, so it's more complicated than something like Ticket to Ride. It's well and truly in the moderately heavy, I think it's rated at
3.5 on BGG.
A moderately heavy Euro game. Apparently it's got a lot of strategical depth to it in terms of managing assets, and it has a really interesting action selection mechanic again, where you pick your actions in what are called cycles. So if you imagine a circle of actions, mm-hmm. different actions around the circle. Whenever it is your turn, you can advance your piece around the circle to pick an action. When you complete you can't go backwards, and when you complete a lap around the cycle, you have completed a cycle.
Okay.
When you complete three cycles, you're out for the round. And obviously, may be penalized for doing things in a certain order, because they may be more efficient for you, but at the same time, you end up bowing yourself out of the round more quickly as a result.
It reminds me, at least in part, of the Expeditions action selection, where you've got 2 out of 3 options available each time, but you won't always be able to do the same things in the same order, so you'll get locked out.
Yeah, you see, I've seen it in a few games. I do like the idea that you can't necessarily freely take an action all the time, similar to things like Ark Nova as well. You could potentially take the action, but from turn to turn, it might not necessarily be the most efficient action.
Diminishing returns. Yeah,
you get diminishing returns.
You're rewarded for doing the same thing. Being variable. Yeah.
You are rewarded for cycling through your actions to a certain extent, or manipulating the benefits in a certain order to try and take more effective actions. And that's, or, you know, that's obviously the best thing about a Euro game, is that ultimately a big part of the Euro game is about trying to be strategic with your decisions to edge ahead of the other players. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Terminus sounds really interesting.
It's interesting.
By Inside Up Games. Apparently it's a super thinky Euro game, which is right up my alley.
No wonder you've chosen that.
And it sounds like the joy of trains combined with a more complex puzzle than something like Ticket to Ride.
Joy of trains. Are you Jason?
I do like a brown Euro, though.
Ooh, you'd hate to hear you saying that. Our buddy Jason over at Meeple-Minded.
Jason knows how I feel about Euro games. It's fine.
I'm going back to Hashtag UK, who are releasing this one from Unfriendly Games, and this is Nekojima.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
This again looks like a very cool dexterity game, very tactile. You're on the island of cats, and you're looking to connect electricity power lines, which might sound like a really odd concept for a game, but effectively you have bits of coloured string with pegs or poles at the end, which you have to stack up in various combinations. It's really three-dimensional, and puts me in mind of things like Topple or Buckaroo, or more recently something like Men at Work.
It's that sort of, there's some verticality to how you build it.
Yeah, and increasing peril as it all stacks up and your wires can't touch as you try to connect specific sections together.
You basically get a bunch of different poles that are all connected together, and the idea is you have to place the poles one at a time without touching someone else's wires.
That's it.
Or knocking your poles over. Yeah. Or knocking someone else's poles over.
Yeah. And you can play competitively with players losing out if they knock something over, but you can also play cooperatively and see how you can get it. I always like that variability. looks really cute and I want to give it a go. It's not one I necessarily buy. It
might depend on the price point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If it's the right price, I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
You know, it's got quite nice components. It's wood, so I don't know. They might have priced it quite reasonably, or it might be a bit of a premium.
I'm hoping it's kind of a premium budget. There's no need for it to be too expensive.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm on to my last one then.
Oh, okay.
I've saved one of my favourites for last. It's one I've played before.
Is it a version of one you've played before?
Version of one I think we're on the same page. I'm going to go with Ox from Reddit Games. This is, or has been, on the radar for a little over 2 years.
We played the print and play version of this at UKGE 2 years ago, Tom.
Yeah, we made our own version, took it with us to UKGE, played it while we were there, and recorded our thoughts on the early copy.
We did a preview recording on site. Well, not the show itself, but in our digs in Birmingham.
In our terrible little Airbnb in Birmingham, yeah. By all accounts, it's changed enormously from what it was 2 years ago.
I keep reading about this and hearing how it's changed a lot. I'm really curious to know how.
Have you looked at it now?
I've seen some of the recent pictures and it looks phenomenal. I want to know how much of the gameplay has changed, because some of those initial design concepts were so intriguing. Where you had the dual-use cars, ranking system. There were suits, right?
It was suited action selection cards. Cool DNA there.
It melted my brain, but the ideas were great.
But it was still early days. It had some flaws. It could be broken. So it's been really interesting listening to some of the stream of consciousness when it comes to updates for the game over the course of the last 2 years, and hearing how it's been changing. I've sort of not been following it a huge amount recently, but now that it's going to be available to try at UKGE, I'm really, really keen to see it again.
So we'll get any real kind of grip on it and a sit-down play in the hall?
I hope so. And I'm pretty sure it's actually due to be delivered to most of the Kickstarters, or the first wave of Kickstarters, very soon.
Okay.
I think Wayne is due his copy very soon.
Ooh.
I think he's told me it's on the water somewhere.
It could be anywhere from a few days to a few weeks then.
I'm really keen to give it a try. I mean, I love what they do. Well, I love what they've done with Root. I really, really liked the early version of Arcs that we played. And the way that it's changed and how it looks now, and listening to some of the updates, sound even better.
Yeah.
If it's achieved even a fraction of what I like about Root, I'm sure it's going to be up there as a favourite. Very quickly.
Given how much we enjoyed the early version, I certainly can't see that it had gotten worse.
They've absolutely nailed the mechanics, or the design and mechanics cycle.
Yeah.
Right, the iterative improvement, getting the feedback from people, improving it over and over and over again, and producing something that is absolutely top tier.
Yeah, later games have that unique touch where you can spot their version of premium quality, both in production and design content.
You get so many games that come out through Kickstarter which are an unfinished mess. Or at the very least, their rules are garbage and incomprehensible. And I'm not going to name or shame any specific games, but I've definitely got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Right. So to be able to see something that I know is going to be very, very good, I'm so keen.
And at that really peak level, that's going to be cool.
So that's what I'm excited about.
I'm going to give you one more specific pick, and then a couple where I just want to look at them for the looking, if you will. So Osprey Games, they have the Undaunted series, General Orders, and recently Sankore. Always high quality games. They're releasing something I'm not sure is actually going to be at the show, and that's Freaks, Mutant Murder Machines. And that's Freaks with a Z, of course.
What a name.
It's a rules-light skirmish war game set in a bombastic post-apocalyptic world of mutants and cartoon violence.
Sounds somewhere between something like Borderlands and Fallout.
Yeah, I'm very much getting those vibes. Looks like total crazy nonsense. It says you can pillage the ruins of a devastated world in pursuit of hallowed artifacts. Move your fighters without measuring and resolve attacks in a single matched dice roll. Tabletop gaming without that drudgery of having to get out a tape measure or handle a million dice while reading three different rule books.
Something to be said. I like a miniature game, and I like having big armies, but the minutiae of pushing hundreds of miniatures around the table does get a little bit old after a while.
Yeah.
So light miniatures games, particularly ones where you don't have to buy loads of miniatures, so they're relatively easy on the wallet as well. Easier to get someone else into them as well.
So that's my last proper pick. You literally just mentioned Borderland, and I'm hoping Mr. Torg's Arena of Badassery, now it's finally out. I've not seen it in person. I'm really hoping there's a demo table for that.
Yeah. I've just been vaguely looking at the miniatures every now and then because
so many bonkers, colourful pieces in there. I didn't back the Kickstarter in the end, so I'll have an eye out for a copy at a good price. My last little mention is Darrington Press, which is the publishing arm of Critical Role. Listeners will know I'm a big Critical Role fan, and Darrington Press will have the team's own RPG, Candela Obscura, which is a gothic horror D6-based system. I think they've got a couple of other games there as well that they've developed, some of which are in the Critical Role universe, some of which aren't. I'm unlikely to buy any of it. I am curious to have a look, though. Some of the quality looks great.
That sounds really interesting. I'm curious to see what they've got to show.
Beyond that, Tom, what else might we go and see or do?
Lots of people we want to go and talk to. Some familiar faces. I'm sure we'll find plenty of new faces that we see something interesting on their table and we'd love to chat to them, give them a little bit of publicity, show them off.
Yeah, we're just going to hijack people for interviews left, right and centre.
And the great thing about these shows is that people are generally always really happy to talk to us.
It's the thing I'm looking forward to most. I'm sure I've said this before, but the opportunity to be immersed in the culture for 3 days is such a delightful prospect. It's been a weird year for you and me so far, Tom. We've not had the chance to play so many games, and I can't wait to be surrounded by people we can talk to and enjoy things with.
It's felt a long way away until, I think, really this week, and then suddenly it's like, oh, it's happening really soon, and I'm actually starting to get excited about it now.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
It'll be here before we know it. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be great. Be good to be back among like-minded folks, like you say. Thanks for listening to Bored Stupid. If you like what we do, please remember to subscribe to us for updates and to get future episodes of the show on any and all good podcasting services. You can also find us on Facebook or Instagram, as well as on YouTube, where you'll see a whole raft of game reviews, coverage from the show, unboxings, all sorts of stuff, and the very enthusiastic Matt and Wayne.
Well, live streams going on once in a while. Tom and I are generally in the comments, so you can chat with us there. So exciting.
Just search for us at Bored Stupid UK, and that's with a B-O-A-R-D, and we're bound to pop up on any and all of those social medias. If you like our content, do us a favour, give us a 5-star review wherever you can review us, share the links to this episode on social media, hit us up in the comments on any and all of our posts, tell a friend or tell all your friends, or reach out and talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. Have you been to UKG before? Will you be going this year? What's stopping your watch list? Do tell us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again soon.
See you at the show.